Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blitz is chock full, so we'll get to it in a second. I do want to say, though, that on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our sister station, Jerry Jones has a weekly segment.
Yes, he does.
He does a paid appearance, I'm assuming, and does a Jerry Jones report, like we would do with Scherzer or Doolittle, what have you. Not a bad regular, by the way, to have the owner of the Cowboys on your morning show.
Oh, seriously, it's good.
He was really, really salty today with our buddy Sean Sharif and his co-host. Here's a quote. This is from someone on Twitter that was listening, as covers the Cowboys. Quote, "Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Settle down just a little bit. I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night and don't have the patience to jack with you today." I don't even know what it means to jack with somebody.
I don't want to know.
I don't know if I need to go there.
You gotta pay for that sometimes.
But he goes, "Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Settle down just a little bit. I don't like your attitude. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you."
He was asked if he was embarrassed, I guess, based on last night or whatever. And then that's it. That was his response. I love this. I want to live inside of it. This is a delightful hotel with great linens.
Let's kick off the Blitz with the Skins. The team whose owner has never spoken on the radio but once or twice. It's been many years. Certainly not while we were together. Craig Hoffman is our beat reporter. Craig, who's in, who's out? Injury update for Sunday against Green Bay.
We know that Trey Quinn's probably going to be out. We know that Paul Richardson's probably going to be out. Neither of those guys are practicing today. Everyone else who's listed on the injury report, except for one guy, we're pretty sure is going to be good to go. Montez Sweat, guys like Ryan Kerrigan. Ryan's been back in full all week. Morgan Moses, Brandon Sheriff. The one guy we got to check on is DeShazer Everett. He missed yesterday with a shoulder injury, and actually not sure if he was out there today. Forgot to check on that one because Bill Callahan does not do injuries at the podium anymore. And so that actually makes it less top of mind for us, but we need to do better at our job. So we'll have a report on DeShazer later, but he's the one that's kind of up in the air.
It's been nice going against some backup quarterbacks and some offenses that are struggling. This is Aaron Rodgers, and this is Aaron Jones, and this is Devontae Adams. This is the full complement of the Green Bay Packers. How will this defense hold up?
It's a great question. They're certainly playing better, but it's against Jeff Driscoll and Kyle Allen. And Rodgers will torch you in ways that no other quarterback can. And so I think it's going to be a test of their discipline. Obviously, you get out of pass rush lanes and things like that, the way he's able to move in the pocket, get off schedule, and there's nobody better, certainly now, but maybe in the history of the whole league, off schedule when compared to Rodgers. Not to mention guys like Fabian Moreau. He's been better, but there's been some plays that he's gotten away with, and if you fall down in coverage, Rodgers has a way of finding the guy that you fell down covering. So things like that, that you've gotten away with some mistakes over the last couple of weeks, and not to mention the pass rush is going to have to continue to get home. It's a very, very different ball game than what they've faced. So I don't know. When they face some good offenses this year, they've had trouble. Or even offenses like the Jets, who were just on that particular day, or the pass rush wasn't getting home, and you give a guy time, and Darnold diced him to pieces. So you turn Darnold and Aaron Rodgers, and who knows? So I think it's a great question to which you can't possibly know the answer.
You know who's not so quietly having a really good year, but I don't know how much we talk about him, is Matt Ioannidis. Dude's a stud. Mm-hmm. I think about him because the last time he played the Packers a year ago, he had one of his best games of his career. So much talk about Payne, who's a freak, and Allen, who's really good, but Ioannidis is legit.
Yeah, I think Payne's still the best guy on that line, but Ioannidis makes a case that it might be a case at the very least that he's better than John Allen, or at least has been this season. Ioannidis is incredibly powerful, and I think that is the key to his game. He's quick, too, but his ability to just bruise and move people, it makes him a force in the run game, and that bull rush pass rush that he has been really effective, and he gets home, gets pressure up the middle, and if the edges do their job and keep their lanes, either Matt gets there or those guys get home when a quarterback tries to run. So he has been at the center of a lot of their pass rush success when they've had it this year. And obviously that's, you know, the quickest line of the quarterback is straight up the middle, and it doesn't leave a whole lot of places to go. So if Ioannidis can have a big game on Sunday, then they do have a chance against Aaron Rodgers in that offense.
Thank you, Craig. You're in very good shape. Have a good weekend.
I try my best, Danny. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Too. Let's talk some puck, please, Tommy. Our buddy Brian McNally joins us to do that very thing. Washington, Anaheim, part three of this West Coast three-piece. Give us a little preview here.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Pretty good game tonight. You wouldn't think it would be. The Ducks, Caps only play twice a year, but the last one in D.C. was got a bit out of hand.
What happened?
Halfway started. You got guys spitting on each other, punching each other in the face for no reason, sucker punches. Got a little bit out of control. The Ducks have always been known as a team that kind of goes over the top sometimes. They got some guys with that play with an edge. So tonight could get pretty interesting if people stay up to watch. Should be fun.
Should be good, but new school NHL, you don't always have a lot of retribution. It's going to be kind of more bark than bite, right? Do you actually think we're going to get a bunch of fights and people going ham?
I mean, last game of a road trip, I feel like there was some unfinished business in that one, Grant. I think there could be a little bit of back and forth. Maybe not, you know, they're going to come at Hathaway for sure. At the very least, you're going to see that. And I don't know. This could be, if you're the Caps, it probably doesn't do you any good to get in scraps with a team that's just struggling to keep its head above water. But, you know, sometimes the boys are going to get after it a little bit. So I'm interested to see how this one goes.
Ultimately, what needs to kind of get ironed out here just in terms of the lines and some of the things as Nick Backstrom comes back and Carl Hagelin gets his sea legs underneath him? What are the questions you want answered?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point on Hagelin. He obviously was out of, I think, 10 or 11 games. So getting him back and also getting him in a good place, that third line, once Backstrom comes back, you want to see what you have with Eller, Hagelin, and Richard Ponick, who I think kind of quietly played really well here the last, say, 10 days or so. He's starting to find his form. It hasn't necessarily translated on the score sheet yet. But I'd want to see that third line kind of get some chemistry going, because everywhere else, guys, they're rolling. Even the defensive pairs seem to have settled in and gelled. So I think they're in a good place. It's just a matter of getting Backstrom back and kind of ironing out that third group. And, you know, otherwise things are on track right now.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys.
See you, buddy.
Time for the Nets. Jesse Docherty of the Washington Post. Jesse, let's start with the good. Sounds like Howie Kendrick's coming back. I'm surprised by this. I would have thought with the cologne of a World Series all over him, maybe a non-contending team threw two or three years at him in the American League, but instead, one-year deal with an option for the Nats. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the logical situation here seemed like he'd go to an AL team as a designated hitter, and typically those guys get paid more than a bench bat or a platooning first baseman because they play most days. So, you know, what I've heard is that Howie actually did have two-year deals on the table. Those were coming from some American League teams looking to make him a designated hitter. But, you know, he really did, you know, enjoy his time in Washington and want to come back here. So he takes the one-year deal for $6.25 million with that mutual option, as you mentioned. And, you know, the band is inching back together. I don't think it's going to come all the way through and everyone will be back. But so far the two signings have been retaining pieces of the 2019 team.
Jesse, what did you make of Mark Lerner's comments? For the record, he's been very kind to us. I think he's a very nice man, and he presides over an organization, just won the World Series. But those comments didn't sit well with me. Maybe just the word afford that really bothers me, I think, in some fans. But what did you make of the idea that they simply can't afford to re-sign Rendon and Strasburg?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's what I wrote, you know, last night, and I'll stick by that. Is I think you're totally spot on, Danny. I think afford is the wrong word. It kind of shifts the conversation in a direction that doesn't sit great with me, shouldn't sit great with fans, probably doesn't, you know, isn't really productive in the bigger picture, because when you talk about affording for a Major League Baseball team, that's not really always how it works. And Mark sort of goes on to explain that. It's in the players' court, not the team's. They make their offer, and then the player can decide whether or not they they want to take it. And of course, at the end of the day, that's what all teams can do is give the money or an offer that they're willing to spend. But at the same time, we need to sort of really value the open market and what players are demanding on the open market, and hope that our the contending teams in this sport are willing to not just be rigid in their ways and say, well, we're going to offer these figures and that's it, take it or leave it. We'd hope that they're willing to have their approaches dictated by a market and driven up, and because players that demand bidding wars deserve that. And I think, again, the word afford is wrong. These questions are always whether what a team is willing to spend, not what a team can spend. So I just thought sort of the tone was a bit off there.
Are you in line with just about everyone else where you say Rendon leaving and Strasburg coming back, or is your mind changing a bit?
If I had to guess, yeah. That would be, and I guess I wouldn't even just say it was a guess. It'd be more of an educated guess. I would say that's where I fall. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. We obviously know the Nationals love to build around starting pitching. I mean, this is going to be a Mike Rizzo built team, and the first thing he does is say, where can I, build my staff out and go from there. In this case, you have a guy you're familiar with, has expressed an interest in coming back to Washington, and obviously just won you a World Series, and that's the most logical way to keep your big three intact. I think that makes a lot of sense. Steven was here for 4 more years anyway. So when the Nationals were viewing their plans, they had 4 years and $100 million, already committed to him. If you add 2 to 3 years on the back of that, and obviously a good amount of money, your plans don't have to shift too much. I would say when this team projected its future, it probably was more likely projecting one without Rendon than it was about Strasburg, just because the opt-out sort of came in play late when he was so good in the postseason. He's supposed to be here for the next half decade about, and I think they're going to do their best to make sure that's still the case.
Jesse, thank you, buddy. Great job with the Kendrick reporting. And if you could do me a favor, just report on like a second baseman signing that they made, and then Strasburg and Rendon coming back too, and maybe, I don't know, like some bullpen help. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, Danny, tell everyone to call me and let me know when that happens. I'll make sure to get it to you.
Gotcha, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Jesse. There you go. His work's in the Washington Post. Good job by Jesse Dougherty on the Beltway Blitz. Next on Grant and Danny, the Redskins have won 2 in a row. They are 3-9. We got a game to watch, though. They're playing the Pack. Former employee Matt LaFleur is the head coach of the first-place Packers, and Preston Smith, who left for a lot of money, is having a great season. Why are you going to watch on Sunday? What is your number one priority at this point when you turn on Redskins games? For Grant and Danny. Jeff Driscoll, Travis Driscoll. Who is he?
Jeff.
Yeah, there's a Driscoll to be named later. This is not last week's opponent where you got another backup quarterback and maybe even a worse team the day that you played them, not over the course of the season, but the Carolina Panthers with Kyle Allen. This is Aaron Rodgers. This is Green Bay. This will be different. Now, I will say if they beat the Packers, then something weird is happening here.
Something really weird is happening.
They've turned their season around. Bill Callahan is getting to these guys potentially. They're buying in on what he's selling.
The hidden gem that was Bill Callahan all along.
Now, in a million,
we have that discussion.
In a million years, I would not hire him as my head coach. And philosophically, their offense is still horrendous, and what he's trying to implement has not worked to move the ball and to score points. They've had one good offensive game since he took over now. Out of 7. But that being said, if they beat the Packers, you got to give them a little bit of dap and respect. I think beating the Lions at home, they're really bad. They had a backup quarterback. That's nothing. Beating the Panthers on the road, the game that they played, a little bit more impressive for sure.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback on a day where they played a terrible game. But you give them a little bit of credit. You won't be able to take anything away from them if they beat the Packers. That's at Lambeau, hungry team, trying to win the division, gunning for their 10th win. That'd be your signature victory of the season.
Yeah, that's the one you plant the flag in and say, see? Forget the rest of the sample. We did that.
That right? would be the Bruce Super Bowl where he can scream right. afterwards. I'm telling you guys.
Culture's damn good.
We are knocking on the door. The culture's allowing us to stay afloat in a lost season. There's no infighting here. That's Bruce's last stand, perhaps.
But think about just a few weeks ago. I'm not talking about months ago. I'm thinking a few weeks ago where they were down 34-3 against the Jets. 34-3 versus the Jets. That's your low point. They scored a couple garbage time touchdowns in the fourth quarter when the foot was off the gas, but they could have lost that game by 40 points. Couldn't do anything to stop the Jets. Couldn't do anything to move the ball against the Jets. The Jets stink. The Jets are terrible, and they beat the Redskins' brains in. They ran circles around them. To go from that to down the stretch, and I know it's not enough. Our expectations should be infinitely higher as fans of this team. But think about where they were just a few weeks ago. You go on the road and you beat Green Bay. You got to start complimenting the guys that are in charge. You got to start talking about Bill Callahan in a very positive way. Even though I'm with you, his offense makes me sad. The idea that he's in charge of an offense makes me just
upset.
And
both of those things can be true,
yes,
right?
They both can
I
be
mean,
upset.
It could be a bad idea long term, and he could be getting to a team that needed some structure and discipline. But if what I think happens, and they lose by 18 or 20 or something like that, mm-hmm. and they go and it's 27 or 31 to 10, then it is revealing that you played two backup quarterbacks, and we all got really excited, and it was much ado about nothing. I mean, if you look at the results this year at 3-9, the teams that they've beaten were quarterbacked by Josh Rosen, started the game, Kyle Allen, and Jeff Driskel. Those guys are not going to be starting in this league next year, probably. No. Certainly not going to be starting with their current trajectories 2 or 3 years from now. They're just their backups who happen to be on the field when the Redskins played them. But here's the question we wanted to pose for you guys. If you're like me and Danny, you watch every single week. It's very simple for me. Are the Redskins playing? They are. We only have 16 opportunities to do this, so I'll be glued to the TV and I'm watching every single play. And it's not because of my job, it's because I love it. It's because I can't get enough of it. I'm a glutton for punishment, I suppose. But if they played 30 games, 30 straight weeks, and they were 2-27 going into the last one, your boy would be right there sitting down on his couch watching that spring Redskins game in a lost season. I think there are plenty of people like us out there. Biggest fans in town often listen to sports talk radio, so many of the people tuned in right now might be in that boat.
Yeah.
But for those of you that don't necessarily watch every game or kind of check in or check out, if you're going to be watching any of the Redskins on Sunday, my question is not just why, but what for? What is your number one priority? Do you just want to see Haskins? Are you excited by Geist? Do you want to see if the defense can carry over last week? You heard the Nate Orchard interview this week, and you want to see if he can get a couple more sacks in one of the coolest stories the Redskins have had in a while? What is your reason for watching Sunday?
Dwayne Haskins, number one. A million miles of dead air and space. Then it's, I want to see Terry McLaurin and Kelvin Harmon and Darius Geis. I want to see Quentin Dunbar. I want to see Fabian Moreau against a good offense with some receivers that know where they're going. I'd like to see a couple of these young pieces on defense. Maybe some guys get after the passer. Let's Montez Sweat unleash a little bit, or some of the guys that, you know, were on the street a couple weeks ago, whether it's Orchard or the other guy whose name I'm blanking on who had a sack in the
Chris
game.
Chris Odom.
Chris Odom, thank you. I always want to call him Dave Odom because he used to coach at Wake Forest. Anyway, it's those guys. Everything about that is secondary. The quarterback. This is the only thing that matters right now outside of getting rid of Bruce Allen in the front office. The quarterback. The quarterback. The quarterback. People still don't have the intensity of being starved for information that we should. We're just sort of, we're just watching the next guy that played quarterback. They spent a first-round pick on a guy. We got to figure out if he's the guy for the long term.
I think you're right about the lack of intensity, and I think the reason for that is just all of the intensity knobs are turned down.
Yes.
People don't have the intensity for one of the precious 16 games that we get. People don't have the intensity when Daron Payne does something great. People don't have the intensity to understand that Terry McLaurin might be the best Redskins wide receiver drafted in 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that people are intense about or excited about because the apathy is set in. And if you used to be an 8 out of 10 on the Redskins, uh-huh. most people are now a 6 out of 10.
Yes.
So even when the knobs cranked all the way up, the intensity's down.
We've seen that. You're right.
I think that's why we're getting a little bit less of the zeal on Haskins. Another reason, though, is hard to get all that excited and have intensity when he's played so terribly. This past week,
I know.
I really genuinely believe this. I'll say it again. That was the first game he's played where, to me, he played at the level of a starting NFL quarterback. I'm not saying a great one. He threw for 140 yards and no touchdowns. By the way, there were some drops that didn't help him in there, and he could have easily had closer to 200 yards.
His best play, Jeremy Sprinkle, slapped it to the ground.
Right. But there were a few plays that were exciting, that had me pumped. And I left that game for the first time, and I thought, Dwayne Haskins didn't look like a guy that shouldn't have started today on an NFL team. That was great progress. I want to see another one of those for sure. 800-636-1067. If you're watching the Skins on Sunday, why? Who and what are you watching for? If you're not, what are you doing instead? That might also be a funny call. If you've elected that you're not going to watch the Redskins, we would love to hear from you. And
Ricking leaves.
Sunday at 1 o'clock, what are you going to a holiday party? Have you decided to go to the store while no one's there? 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. With you until 2 o'clock today and every weekday. Right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. We told you about Mark Lerner's comments and Scott Boras's response. The idea being that the Nats don't have the money to spend to bring back both Strasburg and Rendon, according to their owner. In our first hour, we can get back into that. In the last hour of the show, we'll also take a peek at some of the big rivalry games in college football as well. Before we get out of here 90 minutes from now. But at 800-636-1067, we've asked for you guys to give us a shout. Redskins game on Sunday. You're watching? Why? What do you tune in for? What do you care about? What are the things that keep you plugged in on the team and most excited on game day? Or you're not, what are you doing instead? I'm curious, is someone going to be on the couch and just watch another game?
I'm telling you, when I told you this, I think it was before the Jets game. At 12:30, I took an informal poll of a bunch of guys that are right around my age, 40, you know, 38 to 42 was the age range, that I've known for a long time in different walks of life. Not one of them was watching the game. They're all like, nah, I'm doing this thing with my kid, or I'm at the playground, or I'm going grocery shopping, or, you know, putting up the holiday lights, whatever it was.
They missed a good Redskins performance that day.
Against the Jets.
Missed the gem. Skins were only down 31 at one point. By the way, the Jets since then, they had a good game the next week, and they've been terrible since.
They beat Oakland.
The next week.
It was the next week, yeah.
They blitzed Oakland, blew them out, and you thought, maybe the Jets are coming around. Hadn't been as pretty since. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax on the Fan. Dan, I know you'll be watching on Sunday, buddy.
Grant and Dave, I don't appreciate you making fun of me.
Die.
I will be watching because I love the Skins, and you can call me crazy. You can call me Positive Peter. I feel like Haskins is going to improve with 3 touchdowns. I am sized to see the 1-2 punch of Geis and Peterson, and it's very possible we could win, even though we haven't won since 1986 at Lambeau. I think a key will be defensive pressure on Rodgers with Ioannidis, Payne, and Allen. That will enable our cornerbacks and safeties to get some picks. And 24-21 Skins, let's go, HDTR.
He's got a win, by the way.
Going up there and winning. There are 13-point dogs, depending on your book, by the way.
Dan is the kind of Redskins fan. And God bless them. You need more of them. If your organization was supported by nothing but Dan's, you'd be in probably better shape than the Redskins are, to be completely honest with you. Certainly the atmosphere at FedEx Field, and
sure,
the crowd noise and some of the things fans control would be more beneficial to the cause. But he's the kind of guy, they could lose and go 2-14 the next 10 years, and Bruce Allen could be in year 21 going in to 2030. And Dan will be calling in to whoever's long replaced us by then saying, I got the Redskins beating the Patriots 22-13 because Quentin Dunbar Jr. picks off his first pass.
You'd refer to him as a believer.
Yeah.
He's a believer.
I don't mean that Quentin Dunbar is a junior. I mean that his kid, his son.
No, I got that. I thought
that was
clear.
I wanted to clarify that joke.
No, you had it.
But then I realized his kid would be like Henry Rowan Gardner, like 13, playing for the Redskins. So maybe I should have gone a different direction.
Maybe by then they changed the age rules. No one knows what they're doing.
I needed an older veteran who has a kid.
Well, Vernon Davis,
right,
was 41, hadn't played.
He could have a 20-year-old.
I only wish someone said they should move on from him.
I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad they kept Vern around for a productive season where they paid him $5-plus million,
that's,
I think,
like
against
eight,
the cap.
Right?
I think it was a $5-plus million
cap. Was it? Okay,
cap
maybe, right.
Jordan Reed was up over 8. Tony in Long Island. How are you,
Tony,
sir?
Guys, how we doing?
Good, buddy.
All right. Obviously, the most important question needs to be answered, and that is Dwayne Haskins. I would like to see a game that we win because of Dwayne Haskins. I don't want to win with Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins has been nothing more than just functional at this point. He's thrown one touchdown pass out of 133 attempts to a wide receiver, and it was meaningless. So he's yet to even throw a meaningful touchdown in an NFL game. So I'm still waiting to see that. I'd like to see Haskins, and let's face it, these last four games, guys, these are going to be the games that we truly judge Haskins on in the offseason. You got three divisional games, and you got Lambeau Field. Go in there, go into Lambeau, play a division rivals, and put up some numbers. It's starting. Now you have to produce. Look alive. Score touchdowns. Can we have a quarterback that throws touchdowns? I mean, our defense forced seven turnovers in the last two games, and we had zero touchdowns from the quarterback position. I mean, I'd like to see more than functionality. I had Josh Johnson and Mark Sanchez for functionality. I want production. Production from the quarterback. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
yeah,
buddy.
You picked him 15. This ain't Josh Johnson off the scrap heap. This isn't Mark Sanchez signed because he played with Kevin O'Connell that one time.
Yeah, I'm 100% with him, by the way. That, to me, is the next step. I'd love to, because we don't do the quarterback wins and losses thing because it's a team sport, it's ultimate team game. But wouldn't it be nice if you go, well, Haskins didn't do anything, but they were able to beat Detroit, where we had to come in here and explain, well, they actually didn't play that well.
I wouldn't even go
that.
I think you're more friendly than I am. Haskins was terrible in
that
game.
Yeah, he was bad in that game, and they won. I don't care about that in terms of, well, Haskins' record is X. It's a bad team. He's going to have a bad record. I want to, you know, look at these numbers that he put up in win, loss, draw, whatever, right? I want to see that.
Yeah, I would like for them to, I think he said it well, have won because of Haskins. Mm-hmm. Haskins went out and was the best player in a victory. That would be great. But you know what? I don't even need that yet. I'll just settle for, can I get two touchdown passes? Can I get 150 yards through the air? I mean, we've lowered the bar so much for him that I was thrilled Sunday. If you would have showed me the tape of that game on Sunday in August and not knowing what week it was or how deep into the season.
This is a good point.
If you would have showed me that tape in August, I'd have been like, okay, what do you want me to tell you? Like, what's the question? Isn't that great? No, not at all.
No.
But now, knowing what I know and seeing what I've seen watching that Carolina game, I was pumped. Like, whoa, he's one of 32 starters, maybe. Cool. Kyle in Fairfax, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Yeah, like Dan, I have a sickness. I watch every game. And your last two callers, both one optimistic that Haskins is going to do well, the other wants Haskins to do well. And that kind of leads me to, now, I'm not saying I want this, but I think this is a possibility. If Haskins does play well down the stretch, and you have Green Bay, Philly, the Giants, and Dallas, the NFC East is a dumpster fire. Let's say the Redskins go 2-2, and then Bill Callahan's overall record as head coach is 5-6. Do we have our head coach here? I want it, but that's a real possibility.
It absolutely is. We talked about that yesterday. Basically, how many wins before you start to get nervous that they're just going to say, you see, it was Jay's fault. Took Bill a couple weeks to establish his culture. Next thing you know, we're, you know, playing much better with him. We know what we're doing.
So there's two questions, right? Might they hire him? Like, is it possible that Dan would keep Bruce and they'd bring in Callahan as the long-term head coach? I guess the answer to that is yes, although I think it's extremely unlikely, because if you're saying that, you are not acknowledging or understanding how dire it is that they make a big hire to invigorate some excitement. Same reason I correctly predicted they would draft a quarterback in the first round, and as we would soon find out in the draft process last year, Dan Snyder adamantly basically said, we're taking a quarterback, everyone else be damned, this is what we're doing. And the reason was he wanted someone to excite the fan base. They'll do the same thing at head coach. I think Bill Callahan, honestly, could have gone 8-3, Marty Schottenheimer style, mm-hmm. and not been the head coach. Because they need a name. They need someone that's going to have that press conference and every TV camera in town's going to be there and fans are going to get out of work early to go to a sports bar to watch the presser. They're not going to be able to get Dabo Swinney or Lincoln Riley, but that's the type of guy they would want. Second part of this is, should they consider him for the job if they have some success? And the answer is no. Baseball executives will tell you, player development guys, scouts, people like that, they've said to me a million times, talking prospects, don't get fooled by September numbers.
Right.
It's a different game. The sport is almost different. Everyone's trying to accomplish different things, has different goals as an organization. And to that, I would tell Redskins fans, don't get fooled by December results.
When there's nothing on the line and you don't know what the other team's going through. Now, with Green Bay, you win against Green Bay, you need to talk about it accordingly. But a Carolina team that's in free fall, a Detroit team whose coach is probably going to get fired, you don't start puffing your chest saying, see, this is who we are.
Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Our top five NFL games of the weekend next. 12:45, that means it's time to give you our top five NFL games of the weekend on this Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Pumped up, by the way. We got an awesome college football guest coming up. Top of the hour, 10 minutes out. Get us ready for the rivalry games tomorrow all around the country. But let's run through the top five. We've compared our lists. We've put together a show top five, so let's rattle it off. Fifth best game of the NFL this weekend. By the way, awesome Sunday of NFL games
good
coming
Sunday.
Up. Titans-Raiders. This one doesn't sound all that good on the surface, but very important in the AFC playoff picture. Tennessee 7-5. They got a win to keep pace with Pittsburgh, also 7-5 playing Arizona. Oakland with a win, though, gets to 7-6, pulls even with Tennessee. All of a sudden, needs just a tiny bit of help from the Steelers, and then the Raiders could be back in the mix. This is a 4:25 kick for the Titans in Oakland.
Raiders need to get right. Tennessee, this is what they do. Their ceiling is lower than nearly every other team that seems to go to the playoffs most years, but they're a high-floor team. They don't screw up. They're going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry a million times. He's going to plot his way to a bunch of yards. He might even break through for a couple big gains. They're not going to throw to Corey Davis or anybody else. And
is
just
Derrick
be okay.
Henry playing this weekend? He missed practice this
he
week.
He did miss practice. I think he was limited yesterday, so it looks like he's gearing towards playing. So that's good. Actually a good note by you.
Good to know. Hawks-Rams, number four. Seattle is in L.A. Now, Seattle, give me a point spread on that when you get a chance, is better than the Rams. We all know that. They're going on the road to Los Angeles. Not a great home field advantage for McVay's boys there.
Pick them.
Pick them?
Pick them.
See, and that's where I was going to go is I saw Seattle was only a one-point favorite initially.
Three-point favorite opened for Seattle.
This is a smell test game.
They smell it.
10-2 Seattle and 7-5 L.A. Something doesn't feel right about that line to me. Not to mention, in talking to a few people, I hate the term around the league, I've been talking to a bunch of NFL people
just
the last few days.
With people around the league. It's a fair statement.
One of the things that keeps coming up is a lot of people think the Rams are going to make the playoffs. Like, people are just counting them out, and I don't, for the record. But that's one thing I keep hearing. Well, if that's going to happen, they're going to beat Seattle this weekend.
Well, they gotta.
Love this game.
I'm excited about it, too. So, right now, Seattle, they're really good. They're one of the best teams in football, right? But they have punched above their weight class a little bit, right? They've been sort of just allowing Russell Wilson to bail them out, and you know Chris Carson has fumbled a billion times, and they just somehow have squeaked out some wins. I think regression is going to happen. Now, it doesn't mean they're not making the playoffs. It doesn't mean they're not making the NFC title game or anything else. I'm not giving you a grand prediction. I'm just saying they probably shouldn't be 10-2. They should be 8-4, right? Doesn't mean they're bad. They're very good, but they've kind of gotten away with it a little bit, and the Rams are desperate here. I actually like the Rams in this one. I think their offense gets back on track. I think Cooper Kupp has a day. Brandon Cooks has done next to nothing this year. I think they get something else besides the Cooper Kupp show. And Todd Gurley looked as good as he has all season long last week.
Ravens-Bills listed third. Now, I personally would have flipped Hawks-Rams and Ravens-Bills. I think Buffalo's really tough to watch sometimes, and this is a much more boring brand of football. Lamar Jackson's electrifying and exciting and super fun. But you take him out of the equation, this is ground-and-pound defense. So it's going to be like a 2017-17-14 game. But Ravens-Bills could be for a bye, could be for a top spot in the AFC. Buffalo's very likely just going to finish behind New England, but they could win the AFC East still. That's a possibility no one's talking about.
It is absolutely on the table. This right now is basically for who's the number one seed in the AFC. You know, I mean, there's some math in there, and we'll see what happens with the Patriots,
et cetera. But if the Bills beat the Ravens, they'll have the best record in the AFC.
That's right.
And the tiebreaker.
And that's kind of where I'm going. And Baltimore just has this incredible run where they're playing a bunch of good teams in a row. Buffalo's good. They're not great. They're good.
Can't get enough Lamar Jackson.
I just want
at this point, the way he's playing, running all over the joint, 100-plus yards rushing every game from the QB position. Number two, Chiefs-Patriots. AFC Championship rematch, overtime game in the playoffs last year was a classic. If Pat Mahomes got to touch the football, the Chiefs might have gone on to the Super Bowl. The rules in overtime are ridiculous, so that didn't happen. when these two teams play, they normally play great games. I actually think the Chiefs beat New England because I think Kansas City's offense is going to do a little bit more than New England's. But this is a classic, brilliant, old-school, elite offense versus elite defense matchup. When one of the best offenses plays against one of the best defenses, what happens? We'll find out in Foxborough.
It's always, to me, when you have a matchup like this, what does your worst unit do? Right, so for Kansas City, it's can their defense make enough plays against an offense in New England that's really been scuffling here, especially of late. It's a classic different styles matchup.
Sunday, we get some answers in the power structure in the NFC. 49ers, Saints, couple of 10-win teams looking for a bye, looking to win their division, maybe even looking to be the one seed. San Francisco needs to beat New Orleans on the road in the Superdome, because they're trying to track down Seattle, who's got the tiebreaker for the moment, over them. Meanwhile, New Orleans lost Drew Brees, didn't miss a beat. He's back, and after a bad loss to Atlanta, they have responded. This is the best game of the weekend. If you like great football teams, this is must-watch.
San Francisco has not had an easy schedule here of late, I would say. Overtime loss to Seattle.
That's because they didn't play anyone for 9 weeks.
This is all fair by you. And now they beat Arizona in the middle of that, but had Green Bay, had to go on the road to the Ravens, back to the East Coast or eastern part of the United States for New Orleans. Then they got the Rams and Seahawks to close the season. San Francisco, still really good. They might end up with 4 or 5 losses and be around 500 the second half of the season. Not any shame in that, though. That is a really good team. I cannot wait for that game.
The thing the thing people don't talk enough about with the 49ers, you see Kyle Shanahan, you know he designs offense well, you know that he gets receivers open, he's got a great running game. Yes, their running game is exceptional. That defense is...
it's so good.
Phenomenal.
So good.
Might be the best defense in the league. Nobody's going to want to see them in the playoffs. What they did against Lamar Jackson this past week was epic. Now, the Ravens ended up surviving and winning on a day where it was very rainy and Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do anything down the field, which probably didn't favor San Francisco from a weather standpoint. But they did a really good job that a lot of people haven't been able to against Baltimore's offense, even in a close loss. Sunday is the entree. Saturday will be the appetizer. Rivalry weekend in college football. Some games to preview for you. We've got an expert to do so. We're excited about next right here on Grant and Danny on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. The holiday shopping season's arrived. This year, your gift can start next year's good habit. I'm a Quip guy. You know that. My wife is a Quip lady. You know that, too. Quip is something that is sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it's dental care you can actually use and want to use every day. Quip is perfect, it's thoughtful, it's practical as a holiday gift. It's an electric toothbrush with refillable floss and toothpaste. The electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations, timer with 30-second pulses, guides your routine. Quip floss dispenser, pre-marked string, you're going to get the right amount every time. Plus, Quip delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months, with prepaid deals that can keep the good habits going all year round. Join over 3 million happy Quip customers right now and get up to 25% off during Quip's only sale of the year. Go to getquip.com/2019 and save up to 20% off. Again, it's getquip. It's Q-U-I-P, Quip. Getquip.com/2019. Be like me. Be like my wife. I'm going to thank you later. Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.